So one in five students in Bozeman have seriously considered suicide.
That's a high rate.
It is an incredibly high rate. Our adolescent suicide rate in Montana is the worst in the country, and Gallatin County is high in Montana.
I mean, you're looking at like a school classroom, you know, say 25. I mean, that's five kids in that classroom.
Have seriously considered suicide.
That's way too high.
And that we're seeing that these high anxiety issues and incidents of self-harm are moving down. We used to think of it as a high school, college issue. It's definitely
younger. What are the plan? Like, what there's you guys
so
got some things.
So a year ago, the Bozeman School District convened a community committee of experts and stakeholders, and really just ran through the data, and it was eye opening and just heartbreaking. And we all decided we needed to be part of the solution. Not sure what exactly that solution is, but we need to start catalyzing change. So the district adopted a long range strategic goal to reduce student-reported serious depression, serious anxiety, self-harm, and suicidal ideation to below national averages by 2031. So that would put it somewhere below 15%. Currently, our reporting is at about 41% of students experiencing serious depression and self-harm ideation.
What do you point to in that? I mean, there's probably some obvious ones. Social media, our phones.
Yep. Bozeman School High Schools are going phone-free campuses next year.
Yeah, which is a great idea, I think. But here's the question I have. Districts all across the country have the same issue. Why is it worse here? I mean, they've got phones there, right? They've got...
I think if we knew, we would have solved the problem. Wow. I think it's a constantly changing set of inputs in our children's lives, telling them what it means to be successful, what they need to be happy, why they're important. But we do have two pieces of data that we're really leaning on in our work in this area. And that is that the presence of a supportive, nurturing adult in a child's life, depending on their socioeconomic and not a lot of other statistics, can reduce the chance of suicide between 20 and 60%.
Yeah, a solid family unit, obviously.
Yeah, you know, but the schools can't provide a solid unit. So what we're looking at is we have an amazing community. And I can't, you know, meet a parent or a business owner who isn't also a coach, a scout leader, a mentor, a youth group leader, someone who is not only involved in their own kids' lives, but in the lives of, you know, dozens to hundreds of kids in our community. And it's those engaged adults that our new community-facing project, the Youth Resilience Project, is looking to connect, support, and encourage to change the culture and the conversation about resilience, gratitude, adaptivity, and be the person that a student who might be experiencing some level of depression or struggle can talk to and understand that this is something you go through. Everyone goes through, and you're not alone. You're part of a community that cares about you. And there are resources to help you figure out how to bounce back, and not just bounce back and survive, but really truly thrive.
I feel like over the years, though, there's been a kind of a push to take any disappointment out for kids. You know, like we started to go to, hey, we're not going to keep score, you know, when we play, you know, baseball games or basketball, whatever, at a certain age. And I feel like, you know, like disappointment is something that happens in life and that kids got to learn to deal with, right? And it's not the end of the world if you didn't get something, if something didn't turn out the way you did. I feel like we've tried to take that element out to where, you know, everybody feels good no matter the situation. And I feel like this is kind of a byproduct of that.
I think there is some correlation. One of the things the district had all of the members of the advisory committee that met last year do was read Anxious Generation. And in that book, the author goes through a lot of things that have changed since I think it's like 2010 in our kids' lives. And one of them is, as parents, we've become anxious.
Yes.
And we overprotect our kids from the scrapes, the disappointments, the frustrations, and we're not doing them any favors, which is, again, another reason that we are looking to tap into the areas where our kids are already experiencing life, whether it's on a team or in scouting or theater. these are areas where kids are encouraged to take risks, to be part of a team, and they will experience disappointment, right? Their team's going to lose from time to time. They're not going to get to start in that key game. And how we teach our kids through these experiences how to handle those and how to grow from those disappointments. Some of the most successful people in life are those who experience disappointment and turn that disappointment into fuel.
Yeah, that disappointment's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, losing is not necessarily a bad thing. It sounds like a cliche. You know, you're just trying to make your team feel better, but it's really true. You learn from those situations, and that's what make you stronger and a better person. But I feel like we've kind of taken that over the years. We've kind of tried to eliminate that. We want everybody to feel good every, you know, 24 hours a day. And that's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily help, I don't think.
Let me spit this out and see if it works for you. But I look at disappointment as like gravity. If you're in a space that didn't have gravity and you were just floating around, the minute you hit gravity, you'd be crushed, right? So disappointment is part of the world we live in.
Correct.
And if you learn to process it and experience it, then you're stronger for it when you may run into it again.
Yeah. And the people that are more successful are probably just better at dealing, right, with disappointment and setbacks and things like that. The people that can handle those as well probably don't do as well, I bet, in life, because it's a part of life. It's a big part of life.
Yeah. But it's also something that I don't think we come to naturally. I mean, disappointment
sure,
sucks.
Doesn't feel
and
good.
If it happens when you're five, it really sucks. So working with the adults who are already engaged in our students' lives and giving kids tools for naming disappointment, processing disappointment, and turning that disappointment or adversity or obstacle into fuel for growth and redirecting them into in the real world opportunities to connect with other students, to connect with their community. One of the things that some of the programs we've been looking at do is encourage gratitude and kindness challenges. So imagine you have a team and you say, okay, this week's challenge is everybody on our team is going to go out and compliment three strangers and report back. This really strange thing happens. Kids who don't look or try to connect with others are looking for something to compliment their classmate or their teacher or someone on. And when they put themselves out there and make that gesture and compliment, it only not only makes the kid they're complimented feel good, it makes them feel good. When they come back to their team and then they report out about, like, I didn't know that I could have that power in someone else's day, and then it just made my day so much better. We're reprogramming our kids to feel joy and connection, to see taking social risks as opportunities for good feelings, not opportunities for rejection.